Surim come from Hashem. They're the agents of Hashem, and therefore they have in them the koyach of Hashem. In other words, it's an understanding which Klal Yisrael achieved with Maaseh V'Nishma, which the Malachim understand that. I'm a shliach of Hashem. I'm just here to do what Hashem wants. So I have the power of Hashem Himself to do what I'm being asked to do. Reish Samach Zayin. The Tabbath speaking tomorrow, by the way, at 12 o'clock. The sign hasn't gone up yet, hey?
What is it?
But the guys leave here now, they don't know.
I thought it was.
Okay, good. Toshu Bal Peh.
I thought it was.
Told her to bathe. No, I need the guys to know so they don't make arrangements tomorrow. Well, Hashem, we don't have to worry about that hot for another 6 months. Yeah, for a year sometimes even. If you pass easy, they don't bother you. You can see last year we passed very well, they came here last, but they've been around here for the last 2 weeks, they haven't hit that yet. They usually hit the weak places first. And they came at a normal time as well. The last time they came was like at 1:45. And you can't find anybody at 1:45. No, this is quite an easy one, just like the ship. Okay. Hey, Mr. Golim, Lebetta, Philip Volume, Shinir, Kaini Chos, and Lebetta Club. A person becomes able to achieve things which appear to be completely impossible. Kasher Kol Bochum of Akesh Yudi, Lemus, or Kiddush Hashem. When a Kol Bochum requests from a Yid to die of Kiddush Hashem, right? Or it plays Mibinian Rav Komot, Leman Shmoy Yisbarach. We're using extreme examples here, okay? Or you ask somebody to jump out of a 30-story building for Hashem's sake, yeah? Who ever sugalaseh this? He's able to do this. Yoyt mikach, neniyash ha-kosh bochum etzavetan likfoitz legoy v'binyen bein maya komot. Hey, noich ha-fazeis. What happens if a kosh bochum would ask you to jump over the building that's 100 stories tall? So then if Hashem asks you to do it, you can do it. Obviously, he doesn't ask you to do it and you can't. I mean, extreme example. But I mean, if Hashem says to you, please jump to the moon, then jump. Because why? Because if Hashem wants you to jump to the moon, can you jump to the moon? Yeah. Ma, in the kabel can I find? He'll make wings for you? No, a tshuva hu. Ke? Yochol nochol. He can make you do it without wings even. If Hashem yitzav otana rei anu shluchov. If Hashem asks us to do something, then we're his agents. V'arehu kol yoichul v'einu mugbal b'muma. And a kodesh bochus kol yoichul. Kodesh bochus not lacking anything. V'teyre shluchav gam anachna aneinu mugbalim. When we're doing what we're doing of teyre shliach, we have the halachic definition of what's called a shliach, and we have the koyach of the mashalach. So if Hashem, we're talking about Hashem asking you to do this. Many people do things, you know, that look impossible or whatever, but Hashem asks me to do it, it's impossible. If it's impossible, Hashem never asks you to do it. Plastic softy knows not to wake up anybody. So Amna Zua is the Chivosush of Kala Ben Yefuna of Tainus Hamaragli. This is actually what Yaakov was saying in the Gemara Shir. What does Kalev's Tainus to the Maragli? Kalev. What does Kalev's Tainus to the Maragli? The Maragli was saying, let's first just say, yes, here's a wonderful shir of Tav on the how the Chet HaMaraglim and the Chet HaEgel were the two shiroshim of all the suffering that the Klal Yisrael has, and that we're going to have to withstand those two tests before Mashiach comes and what they are and how to understand it. It's a wonderful shir on that sugya. But anyway, we have to understand that we don't understand the Chet HaMaraglim at all. There's nothing for one minute that we think. You know, the people going around today saying that everyone who lives in Chutz La'aretz is being over the Chet of the Meraglim, because they don't come live in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, these are Zashita there today. It says that if you're living in Chutz La'aretz and people say, why don't you come live in Eretz Yisrael? It's because, well, you know, Panosta and whatever, you know, that's the Meraglim. Hashem says, come live in Eretz Yisrael, you'll find Panosta, don't worry. Law Kabbalt is a stipler. The stipler was very makpid. It was Don told over recently, it was a meister by a yid, he wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael. So I can't remember, once someone came to ask the stipler whether he should come or not. The stipler asked, what's he doing in Chutz La'aretz? So he said, no, he learns most of the day, and he works 3-4 hours in his father-in-law's business, whatever. The father said, what's he going to do when he comes here? What'll he do when he comes here? He said, no, whatever, he'll sell and he'll buy and he's going to buy a building and sell and make a profit. And the sniper said, yeah, and he'll lose all his money like everybody else, and he'll not be able to learn, and he won't be able to, whatever. Let him stay there and learn and work there. If he's already there and he's learning the whole day and he's working, but what are you going to come here for? He wanted to stop and say, what are you talking about? He's a meraglim. The first thing any God will ever ask a person is, what's a panasa? When I ran in Tifla the first time, I went to meet Report the first time. Before he said hello, before he said anything, what's a panasa? You'll be sitting and learning. Are you going to support your family? What do you mean? Emunah, betochen. Yeah, good, but at the end of the day, yeah.
Like the
Maraglim,
they never complained about
Panasa.
That wasn't one of the things.
Good, I'm just using it as a later day. Yeah, because they had other problems. They said it's not going to. No, well, they did. They said it eats the land. It's not shaykh to survive. Look how many people are dying in there. Whatever. So people are saying, how can't come there to Israel? What will be with Panasa? Well, today, today's timers, they're different timers, but the same shayrish of the timers, the lekabi mun in Hashem. For Hashem says, go live in Eretz Yisrael, so go live in Eretz Yisrael, what's your problem?
I think I misunderstood. What was he saying?
Who?
The
Stein. No, the people, somebody wanted to come live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Stein just said to him, but what are you going to do about Panasa? Rather stay in America.
You're telling him you should stay.
Stay in America and learn! And work a few hours, you come to Eretz Yisrael, whatever money you got, you'll lose. He'll end up with nothing. So I'm saying, people going around seeing people in the Chutz Laaretz today, that if they don't come to Eretz Yisrael, they're over the chet of the Meraglim. I'm not exactly a big chassid of that shitta today. You have to be practical. No, Rav Shach, we had a Messiah from Rav Shach. In South Africa, the Ishala was bounced around. Many of the kufas in South Africa looked like it was becoming what's called a Makom Sakana. So what is the Makom Sakana? If it is a Makom Sakana, what are you going to do, whatever? So Rav Shach was marked it very, very well. I remember hearing from somebody, I think, went to Rav Shach, or his father went to ask Rav Shach, that lives in Ramat Beit Shemesh today. We're closing quite all together. So the Shara was like this. Rav Shach held like this. There's not a halachic shir, so don't quote me on this, but the attitude is pretty close. It's like this. Is if you're living in a Makom Sakana, then you don't make cheshbonis about panasa and chinuch and ruchnis, whatever. You get out of it. Yeah? You leave. Yeah, what'll be? I don't know. Get out of there. We'll worry about what'll be once you save your life. You don't kill yourself. You get out. If it's not a Makom Sakana, yeah, so then you only leave if you're upgrading your ruchnius. You don't leave a place that's not a Makom Sakana to have a yerida in ruchnius, or even to stay the same, unless there's other advantages, right? It's a complex cheshbon on a person if he happens to be married with kids, and it's a much more complex cheshbon because one's always losing and gaining, whatever. It's not a simple decision to come or not to come to a place where you can raise your ruchnius or not. So then it's not such a posh cheshbon. So if a guy's living in New York today, let's say, for example, New York's not a Makom Sakana. However, whichever way you want to cut that cake, it's not a Makom Sakana today. You don't have a chiyuv to flee New York because then you're going to die if you don't. So if you want to leave New York, the Dugma, Toronto, Johannesburg, wherever it is, to come to live in Eretz Israel, it's got to be done on the basis of there's an Aliyah and Ruchnias, or there's Nitzna of Yerida, that you have a panasa, that it's got to be done responsibly. So to say to a guy, why aren't you coming to live in Eretz Israel? And he says, because Yara have a panasa, and there I don't. To say to him, he's only the chet of Raglim, he's poshit the Aran Yara. There's a mitzvah of Yeshua Eretz Israel. And a chiramit, what about Onas Rachmana Patra? There's a lot of mitzvahs that we live. If you can't, you can't. They say that this door, they're not coming to live in Eretz Yisrael, is being even a chetan rightly because they're being responsible. So I don't understand this. But I'm just a little guy.
Let's not think Hashem's telling us, we should come live in Israel.
Where does Hashem say you have a chiv to come live in Israel? There's a mitzvah, you should be in Eretz Yisrael, yeah, but that's not the posh. That means every Jew has a chiv to come even at any expense.
But if it's the mitzvah to live in Israel, then we're saying, Hashem can give us money in Chutz Laaretz, but he can't give us money here?
Yeah, because you know what? I'll tell you what. Because he may want you in Chutz Laaretz to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim there, because we're in Golus.
Yeah.
Let's understand this well. This is a big sugya for an open forum session, but let's discuss this very briefly, because we discussed this in the Sefer here. We have a whole chapter on the Sefer. In this Sefer, we have a whole chapter on your question. I just want to go into it very briefly.
Yeah.
The reason why we're in Golus is because, well, let's go back to what it looked like before. When we had a Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim in the whole world. The light from the Beis HaMikdash was Magana Kovet Shamayim to the whole world and all the nations of the world. So the Yidden could be in Eretz Yisrael, with Oyver Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, and the light of the Beis HaMikdash radiated Kovet Shamayim all over the world. And that's what it was like. The Goyim used to come from all over the world to bow before Shlomo HaMelech and the Yidden and whatever, and that was because we were Makadosh Shem Shamayim. Why is that so important? Because that's why we're in the world. The Yidden are in the world to Makadosh Shem Shamayim. We're here to reveal to the world that there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu runs the world, right? Not them. But when the same Yad Rabbim, we lost the schus of being in Eretz Yisrael, we lost the schus of having the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash got destroyed. How are we now Makadosh Shem Shamayim in the world? How does the world know now about a Kodesh Baruch Hu? So Hashem sends the Yidden to the far flung corners of the world to be Makadosh Shem Shamayim in the world. The way you do business, the way you set up your gemachim, the way you run your hospitals, etc. And that's a whole big discussion which we're not going to go into now. So in Achinami, there's a mitzvah for you to go live in Eretz Yisrael, there's a mitzvah for Yeshua in Eretz Yisrael, but there's also a mitzvah to mafanas your family. There's also a mitzvah that a father has one second to educate his children responsibly, right? Now, he's sitting in Chutz Laaretz. He wants to go live in Eretz Yisrael. He goes to the stipler, and the stipler says to him, look, in Chutz Laaretz, you're being Mekadosh Shem Shamayim, you're a panosa, you're learning, you're steiging, yeah, your kids have got school, everything's fine. You come to Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to have panosa, which means you're not going to be able to learn, etc. You stay in Chutz Laaretz, and you're asking, hold on a second, Hashem says, come live in Eretz Yisrael. So I come, the same way as he feeds me and educates my children, he'll feed me and educate my children, yeah. Good, but maybe Hashem wants you to be in Chutz Laaretz. And that's why he set up, because, watch. Why you let me finish it.
Yeah.
One piece missing. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be in Chutz Laaretz, because that's where my job of being Makadosh Shem Shamayim is. Not in Eretz Yisrael. My job is to be in Chutz Laaretz. The same way somebody's sitting and learning Torah the whole day, yeah, he's being Makadosh Shem Shamayim by learning Torah. And yet there's another Jew, because of his financial situation, has to learn half day and work half day. And he's being Makadosh Shem Shamayim by working half day and learning half day. Ah, I'm also going to learn the whole day, and Hashem will support me the same way he's supporting that guy. Who says? No, I'll show you why. Hashem says your job is to do what I want you to do. I'm showing you by taking away your panasa when you're learning the whole day. I'm forcing you to go to work because I want you to be Makadosh Shem Shamayim in the stock exchange. So I'm not letting you learn full time because that's not your tafkid in the world. How does Hashem show us what to do? Well, Shane, that's what he wants us to do. You have a guy sitting learning 7 years full time, never has any financial problems, the bills work, everything's fine, great. Suddenly he comes into the office and he says, I don't know what to do. I'm just not coming out every month. Things are just going harder, buck. Okay, so now these are big practical signs. Maybe Hashem's squeezing him, he's testing him or whatever. But very often what Hashem's saying to him, I need you to change gears. I've got a new job for you. You've been yistachering the whole day. Now I want you to zvud in a bit as well. So when the stipler says to a yid, you stay in Chutz Laaretz, the stipler doesn't say to him and say, just come and live in Eretz Yisrael, what do you care about Panasa? Because Panasa is the determining factor finding out what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from you. What does Hashem really, where does he want you to be? It could be Hashem wants to see you to be in Chutz Laaretz, being Makadosh Shem Shamayim, and therefore he provides him with Panasa and Chinuch and everything there. If he would come here, he wouldn't be doing what he's supposed to be doing, and therefore he'd be cutting his pipeline and destroying his family, which we see many, many times, by the way. People who didn't listen to the Rebbeim about coming to live in Eretz Yisrael never saw anything be matzliach. The consequences were horrific. When I moved to Eretz Yisrael, one of my closest friends, okay, we were both coming together. My Rebbe told me to come and he sent my friend to Gaitzik. He said, you dare not go to live in Eretz Yisrael. We're churban for you. His family said it was different. Oh, the children, whatever, tak, tak, tak. What do you mean? Meraglim! No, Baruch Hashem, he's superbly successful there. He runs the 7 gates and whatever. Baruch Hashem, whatever, he come here, it would have been a churban atzum. Mm-hmm. You see, there's more than just that. The Torah is not black and white. Mitzvah is Eretz Yisrael. First, everyone can learn Eretz Yisrael. So then, what was the Moshe Feinstein doing in New York? He didn't know about this Mitzvah Yishu Eretz Yisrael. Well, what's from Yaakov Kamenetsky? What's from Eli? What all the good doing? Doing Chutz Laaretz today? How dare they? So you see, the fact that they're not packing their bags and running here means this. You have to know.
Okay, so I'm not saying Chayim Aranglim or anything, but like I said, Hashem tells us to jump to the moon, so you jump. So Hashem's telling us two things. He's saying, live in Israel, and he says, earn a product of your family. So there should be no reason why we can't do that.
So who says you have a personal chiyuv today when we're in Golos to live in Israel? Only when we're not in Golos. Who says that mitzvah applies to everybody now?
So, are you saying by jumping on a plane and landing, in Jerusalem, we aren't necessarily fulfilling the mitzvah of living in Israel.
No. Could be you doing the exact opposite.
So how do you fulfill the mitzvah of living in Israel?
You don't. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of bringing a korban tamid today? It's awesome to bring a korban tamid today.
Yes,
if you bring a korban tamid today on the Harabai, you go over chorus.
So
but it's a bit to bring the korban tamid. Yeah, you have to know when and where and how. I'm saying these things are quite enormous amount of seichel.
Okay, so you're saying it's not
such
a physical thing of actually existing within these borders. That's not fulfilling the mitzvah of living in Israel.
Once again, if you're living in Eretz Yisrael,
yeah,
and you're not supposed to be living in Eretz Yisrael, I don't want to go as far as saying this halachically, but it could become some kind of a mitzvah or aveir. You're doing a mitzvah by doing an aveir. I'm not saying it halachically, I'm saying it could be in a philosophical kind of way. Once again, I'd be very careful about what I'm saying. Sometimes you do a mitzvah by doing an aveir. You have a mitzvah to use a lulav. Right? You have to use a lulav. There's no lulav, the only lulav you get is by stealing it.
Yes, no.
So that's called a mitzvah of Orba Avayim. Doing a mitzvah, doing a Avayim. Could be that your mitzvah of every Daladam as you walk in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah, could become a result of an Avayim because you're not feeding your children properly. You could be starving your children. The Chayim Talav Omer says if you don't make enough ishtadus for Panasa and you die as a result of the anger, it's as if you committed suicide. Aber Hashem could give him Panasa or whatever. Yeah, Hashem gives you Panasa when you play by the rules. If you don't play by the rules, you break the rules and you don't have Panasa, it's your fault, not Hashem's.
One of the rules is the mitzvah. No.
One of the rules is bring a korban tamid. But if you bring a korban tamid today, you chayv chorus. There's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael when you can do it in a way that doesn't. Whatever. Okay, I see where we're going. 1 second, I misunderstood what you're saying. What happens if you have two conflicting halachas? There's a mitzvah of kibbutz av ha'ayin. Yeah, the person's father comes to him and says, please cook for me, roast this chicken for me on Shabbos. So now you have two conflicting derisas. I've got to listen to my father, and it's also to cook on Shabbos. Those are both two heavyweight derisas, right?
Okay, so that's the same question then.
So I'm asking, so now what do you do? So what do you do?
So I'll say there's a priority. But
now, 1 second, wait a second. We can't now. Okay, we know what the halacha there is, so it's an easy one.
Okay.
The halacha is you don't listen to your father, you don't cook the chicken. But the halacha could have just as easily as been the other way. Is listen to your father and cook the chicken. Forget Shabbos. It could have been, you understand?
Yeah.
How do we know what the priorities are when you have conflicting obligations? So that you need a God over Torah for. That's our Torah.
Okay.
So now, there's a mitzvah at the one end of Yeshua Eretz Yisrael. There's another mitzvah to learn Torah. There's a mitzvah to support your family. So now, you have to take all these mitzvahs, put them into the cholent pot, or the magic mix, and come up with a, you've got all these conflicting mitzvahs, right?
Yeah.
So how do you know which ones to do? So the same way as you know whether you listen to your father and cook on Shabbos, or you don't listen to your father and you don't cook on Shabbos.
I think there must be a way to fulfill all the mitzvahs.
Not in Golas. And there's a lot of mitzvahs you won't do. There's mitzvahs that a man can do that a woman can't do. There's mitzvahs that a kohen can do that a Yisrael can't do.
But all mitzvahs that do apply.
One second. What happens if a guy is critically ill and it's mincha time?
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do? So he's potter from mincha because he's honest.
Okay, so
you could be parted from Yeshua Eretz Yisrael because your panosa takes priority over Yeshua Eretz Yisrael. I don't understand, we're in Golas.
Because I want to compare it up to something. Your father says, roast me a chicken and Shabbos. So how can you honor your father and keep
you can't,
Shabbos?
You can't.
You can. Because if you keep Shabbos, I think they say that's really honoring what your father would
want. That is
honoring your father by the
fine. Being the kind of mix of Yeshua Eretz Yisrael but staying in America is by honoring your father by listening to Hashem and doing what he says. So I'll tell you why, we're not in the world to do mitzvahs. Get this clear, we're not in this world to do the mitzvahs.
Okay.
We're in the world to do the Rotzen Hashem.
Yeah.
What is the Rotzen Hashem? Well, where the Rotzen Hashem is living in Eretz Yisrael, that's the Rotzen Hashem. Right. Where the Rotzen Hashem, let's use that example. Where the Rotzen Hashem is, listen to your father. Rotzen Hashem is your father. The Rotzen Hashem is don't cook on Shabbos. Now you have conflicting Rotzen Hashem. So that's your story. That's a nice touch. But let's just get into the Talmudic world where we don't understand the reason for the mitzvahs, right? Okay. So you have two conflicting Ritzoinis. The Rotzen Hashem is yes, listen to my father. The Rotzen Hashem is don't listen to your father.
Yeah.
What do I do?
There must be a way you can do both.
No!
Jump to the
moon. You're misunderstanding the whole sugya.
Wait a second. No.
We learned no. This is the sugya. You understand as well. No. There's an overriding Rotzen Hashem that tells you what to do when there's conflicting Rotzen Hashems.
Okay.
We're dealing with this all the time. You don't understand how important this is. Because 99% of the time, what we do is never black and white clear.
Yeah.
Yeah? Coming out of the secular world, we want the Torah to be very black and white clear. But it's never black and white clear. It's always grey. Very, most often it's grey, yeah? Baal Tshuva get into a lot of trouble with this. By being black and white, they trample over all sorts of isidorices and choruses and whatever. There's a Rotzen Hashem, listen to your father. There's a Rotzen Hashem, don't cook on Shabbos. There's another Rotzen Hashem when those two things come into conflict. That's the Rotzen Hashem you have to listen to. And why can't I do both? You don't have to do both. You have to do the Rotzen Hashem. The Rotzen Hashem, don't listen to your father, don't cook on Shabbos. If there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Israel, that's one mitzvah. There's another mitzvah, feed your family, let's say, which for whatever reason right now you can't do in Eretz Israel, right? So they're conflicting halachas. So what do? There's an overriding third Rotzen Hashem. That's the one you listen to.
But it's not definite that you can't do that.
If Das Torah tells you, stay in Chutz La'aretz, it means you can't. And if you do, you're being over the Rotzen Hashem, okay, and you're not going to get bracha from it.
So that's not a question that's
what you're saying. No, whenever you have conflicting halachas, you need Das Torah to help you out of that. To decide whether you're allowed to cook on Shabbos or not, just look in the Mishnah Berurah. To decide whether to listen to your daddy or not, just look in the Shulchan Aruch. When those two come into conflict, where are you going to look? How are you going to know what to do? And that you need Das Torah. For that you need Das Torah.
There's no Mishnah Berurah in
Das Torah. That's the Fitz Chalik of Shulchan Aruch. When you've mastered the first four, some people get the fifth. Not everyone that masters the first four gets the fifth though. That requires an incredible amount of knowing what the Rotzen Hashem is, the situation is. And it's never predictable, by the way. Never predictable. You have two people going to the same role with exactly the same shayla and getting two different answers.
So then when we say...
Sorry, it's Minchat Tamid. I don't want to keep anybody any longer. But
so when we say... Yeah.